You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Well, look who made it back from Vegas. Our old buddy Noodles.
You guys are acting like you're shocked that I, like, survived a trip.
Never know.
We were taking bets on whether or not you would make it back in time.
I heard. Like, my ears were burning and my Twitter account was lighting up, first and foremost, because I think the first show, you guys were a disaster. There was some sort of 10-second pause where...
Well, Mike Johnson... Johnny left for 35 minutes to do a That's Hockey hit.
Not even, no, SportsCenter.
SportsCenter hit, which could have waited. He could have done it live at 6. Al's brother made a debut.
I know. Well, apparently Al's brother is like a superstar.
He went 3 for 3 last night, too.
I did hear that.
Al's brother is making people some money, man. He's like Neo in the Matrix. He's seeing the board right now, and it is clear.
Good for him.
And you know exactly what that means.
6:50, you're back on the clock, Al's brother.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, he's making picks again at 6:50. You got two hours and 50 minutes to pick a heater.
Now, it was an impromptu that you guys put him on, but... The best part about it, in watching it over and over again, was Johnny showed up and was like, who the hell is this guy?
No idea who
flat,
he was.
Like, flat out, because I don't know. I'm sure Johnny listens to the show, but he doesn't really know, like, Al's brother, because it's usually dark back there.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. Half the time, you have no idea if Al's brother is in the booth, is not in the booth.
The favorite part of this radio show is when Al's brother shakes Johnny's hand. He goes, hey, I'm Al's brother. And Johnny's like... Hey,
thanks. How you doing?
And he's got his earphones in too at the same time. That's the best part.
See, that's a little bit like that's almost offside. Like that's
what,
a personal.
Al's brother had Johnny's earphones.
Yeah.
Like that. Like you have no, you have no type of, you have
like
no
that.
Idea what goes on with ear jam and stuff like that.
If I walked in here and a guy had my earphones in,
it could get ugly.
And you
quickly.
Know, like Johnny's, he's a pretty particular guy. Guaranteed, like he folds his earphones back up and goes in his duffel bag.
Yeah,
his earphones went in his dishwasher when he got home,
or right in the garbage when he walked out the door.
I could see a new pair. I could see a new pair. But it's all good. So you missed out on that. But we also were telling the audience, you have to make sure you tune in to the opening of the game last night, because you were in Vegas last night calling that game.
Yeah.
And Vegas beat Ottawa on a shootout. You know, credit to the Sens. They're playing a lot of good teams pretty well.
What do you think the motivation is? Win this game, you stay the night. If you don't, we travel. I mean...
Well, they gave up 54 shots.
Who cares?
So the goaltender wanted to stay.
Yeah, he had plans in Vegas.
He was that's the best I've seen Anders Nielsen play. Like, I like him as a goalie, but, like, that game was over in the first period if he doesn't stand on his head. But it was a good game, good atmosphere. But, yeah, there was some moving and shaking.
You were fighting it a little.
By the way, if you want a little tip on the Hazy B Casino, track things. I've told you people this before. The Nashville Predators played in Vegas. They won 5-2. Big game. They stayed in Vegas.
Yeah. Arizona.
Their next game, Arizona Coyotes.
Rinsed.
Lost 5-2. So if you want to lay some cash down, find out who's playing in Vegas. Not that game, but the next. So
that's where the...
You circle that Arizona game and say... See you later.
It's funny you mention that. I'm pretty sure the Leafs went Vegas, Arizona last year. Remember, we were in Vegas for the game, and they played really well. It was one of the best games they played all year.
6-4, 6-3 or something.
And then they went into Arizona and lost 2-0 and were awful.
You know what, though? They flew out after the game.
Did they get right out of Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, because they wanted...
That's a shame.
They wanted Matthews, but who knows? Maybe Matthews' crew was waiting for everyone there in
Arizona.
In Arizona, and they had a time.
That wouldn't be a shock, I guess. But
Vegas does do it to you. Like, there's no clocks. The oxygen, and the smoke everywhere.
But you got to think, I always think about it, like, if us three were in either Toronto, New York, or Vegas, would we have done that much more damage? Like, I mean, we're in our 30s, 40s. Like, would it really mean that much of a, like, I can go out in Toronto. When I played in Toronto... I had some great times.
Yeah. In your backyard, you're saying?
Well, just random nights. I had some random nights in Edmonton, Boston, Tampa.
I remember
it didn't need to be Vegas for me to say, man, I'm going to turn it up tonight and do things that I've never done before.
I remember having a night in Edmonton. We played Tuesday, and the Monday night, was an impromptu, let's go for dinner, then turns into some drinks, and then late night. There were guys getting haircuts at 3:30 in the morning. We were in some, like, salon. I don't know why. That the after party had gone back to some storefront, and guys got haircuts, and all hell was breaking loose. Yeah, the game didn't go so well the next day, but, you know, ultimately, you're right. It's a Monday in any city. You know, you could go to the Orbit Room.
For all
you people
night. Tracking that stuff, just watch that. Look at schedules. Team playing in Vegas, day off. If they're staying in Vegas, that next game, it might be San Jose, L.A., Arizona. Just check that one. You might want to dive
in. It's
on
a good spot to maybe lay down some money.
I'll be honest. Like, I was, like, my voice, like, I could feel like being, it was raspy. Like, I was fighting through. Because
he blamed it on the smoke in the building.
There was a ton of smoke in the building.
Dude, it sounded like Joe Pesci chased you into the desert the night before, and you slept out there.
Yeah.
Like, it was not the smoke.
They grabbed you and dragged you by the feet, and your face was dragging along the desert right up until game time.
No, no,
all right,
no,
let's play some audio here, okay? This is the pregame.
Does this sound like a man who's dealing with smoke inhalation?
Yes.
Or a late night?
Well, I don't want to say it was a bit of a fog as far as the Ottawa Senators putting up a defensive type of game and effort. As we see right now, there's a ton of fog in front of me.
He had to bring up the fog right away.
The segue was beautiful, actually. You had that one. Was that on the fly? Or
it was
you
on
have
the fly because I had no idea.
He gave some pigeon at the rink a hunch, said spray a bunch of fog.
I got something planned here.
No, what happened is we're about to do our opening, and Vegas comes out. They lower that whole thing. Bill Foley goes, remember how the heroic video?
Oh, yeah.
With the helicopter and the horses and all that. All of a sudden, the fog machine, and it's like the wind is coming my way, and you can't see it. Sam Cicerello, the producer, is like, we're going to go through with this, because I'm like, I can't see. And I was laughing. And in the back hall, apparently, they filmed it.
It's such a great video. It's up on our Instagram account, up on our Twitter account.
Yeah, the Grappler put it out there.
Yeah, I sent him a note. I'm like, is Noodles aware that this is going viral? He's like, yeah, I give him a heads up.
It's fine.
It's a great video.
But
listen, you're up there preparing for the game. And I'll say this about our boy Scott Sabourin, too, who fought Ryan Reeves last night.
Yeah.
This guy, I appreciate what he's doing, because I think what he's doing is bonfire stories 20 years down the road.
Yeah.
I scored against the Leafs on opening night at Scotiabank Arena, which he did.
Yes.
And I fought the toughest guy in the league.
Yeah.
He may not be there in a week.
Right.
But for the next 50 years, he's telling people, I fought Ryan Reeves in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I scored against the Leafs.
Squared off, too. Like, this wasn't a situation where it was a battle in the corner and it was emotion. It was like he gave him the tap right from the faceoff.
Let's go.
And now Reeves had a little bit of the heroism.
Oh, he's a hero, but he's the toughest guy in the league.
Toughest guy in the league. He can back that up.
And he did. He threw some bombs. Like, he throws vicious punches, Ryan Reeves.
He is a powerful man.
Yeah, and he turned that into a circus because he's like, I know this guy's probably not going to beat me up, so I'm going to stand here and make a kumite stance, and I'm going to make it look like whatever. Yeah. And he just threw four punches, and the guy went to the ground, and then he gives it the old... Like,
yeah.
That's what I don't understand, like, Sabourin is trying to send a message. He's trying to do his job. But if you're on the bench for Ottawa, you watch that. What are you thinking?
I'm saying, man, I don't think he's trying to send a message. I think he's trying to create a memory. Like, I honestly believe I don't think he fights him in Ottawa. I think he's in Vegas. He's feeling it.
But
he's like, I'm fighting this guy so I can tell people the rest of my life. I fought Ryan Reeves
in
Vegas.
Then good job. If you want to go and tell your buddies over a campfire that you fought Ryan Reeves, good.
But
I think
this guy's doing everything he can to stay in the National Hockey League.
Me and him didn't do
I respect
for
that.
A story. Like, I didn't go say, I'm going to go.
Because you went fifth overall and played in the league for 12 years. So you were in the league for 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
This guy, no one had heard of a month ago, and he knows he's not playing on this team when they turn it around. Like, if Ottawa turns it around, this guy's got no shot, and he knows it.
Okay, but
so own
you
it
explained
while you can.
It. If that's what he did it for, a memory, great.
But
good job.
I'll be honest. Like, we all know, and we've all got a little bit of old school in us. I don't mind a dust-up. I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either, but I just wonder
so
what everybody
rare.
On the bench thought. Like,
they both
oh, wow,
benches.
Great job, like Sabra.
Well, he was in between them. What were they saying?
I'll tell you, right away, when I saw him, I was like, I don't know. Even in my mind, I was like, I don't want this to be ugly for Sabourin. I didn't want him. You know, we were there that night in Montreal. Was it Peros and Orr? Like, that was not good. That was, it was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, like, if Reeves lands one of those powerful punches, doesn't matter who that is, they go down. Sabourin is a tough guy. The bench, both benches were electrified. That building, regardless of what you think from an entertainment standpoint, especially in the States, goals and fights still do it. That building erupted. And of course, Reeves is going to give the little extra and let people know about it. He's allowed to do that. But I know for a fact, like, watching the bench, Brady Tkachuk was right beside me. They were losing their mind, banging their sticks. They were so excited for him. I think there was probably some nervous energy because I thought, when you square off,
it's one thing, like, we've all been in hockey fights where if you can get in and seatbelt and
exactly,
hold on.
Exactly. Like, you know what? The refs can really control that situation as well.
Yeah.
But if this was a flat
it's a
out
boxing
square,
match.
Square off at center ice.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The story is spectacular.
You said it best. It's a memory.
It is a memory. Great memory for him.
Because no one's going to remember who won or lost. He gets to say, again, I scored a goal in Toronto in the NHL. Yeah. And I fought Ryan Reeves in Vegas.
And I think his story's
That's
still
great.
Going. I think his story's still going. He's really liked by the team, and he's a guy. You know, we see late bloomers. Could he parlay this into a 3-4-5-year career? Like, he can skate, and he knows what to do out there. Like, he had a play in the neutral zone yesterday where it was, you know, he's a guy who's grinded his way up. He's 27.
He's Scott Sabourin.
Yeah.
And we talk about Scott Sabourin on this show.
And we give him some love on this show. Good
yes.
for him.
How about Patrick Mahomes last night? You were calling the game in Vegas, but I bet you people in Vegas were paying attention.
Believe me,
when Mahomes goes down, like outside of Brady, I can't think of another guy in the league that would get a bigger reaction.
Everything that trends on Twitter, you're privy to it. I go
everybody
in between
on Twitter
the
said, "There goes my fantasy league, gone, yeah. gone."
Now it sounds like he's going to come back this year.
Yeah, I think he's probably back in 3 weeks, 3 weeks to a month. I think Matt Stafford suffered a similar injury. He dislocated his kneecap, and they popped it back in. It would swell like this guy's not walking around much for the next few days. But it opens the door, I think, maybe to more knee injuries this
right.
season, or puts you in a position where maybe you're not going to be as mobile. And that's what makes him so great, is, you know, avoiding the pass rush, getting outside of the pocket, and making throws on the run that other quarterbacks just simply cannot make. And if he has to be a guy who stays in the pocket, he can still make those throws, but he doesn't have the luxury of doing things that every other quarterback can't do.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this changes the landscape in the NFL, I think, significantly. Even if, again, he comes back and plays, if he's at 90%, it's a huge change.
I love the medical reports coming out on Twitter last night. Oh, you know, I'm hearing this, I'm hearing that. Apparently his dislocated kneecap.
Yeah, but he hadn't had an MRI yet, but there were so many doctors on Twitter.
Everyone's got a take, and they're all off base.
Well, so how many doctors were talking about the broken finger?
With Tavares?
Yeah.
Well, it was difficult to know, you know, I think it happened with that Riley shot. I think he's come out and admitted to that.
But he scored after.
Exactly. How would you even
know? And
that
was a laser beam, too, that shot.
Right, top shelf. You wouldn't even pay attention to it.
Well,
I mean,
after the game, you get in the plane, you're like, I got a problem.
Yeah, there's something.
That's when it happens.
He probably knew right away, like, this isn't right, but your adrenaline's going. But the minute that the game's over and you start to calm down a little bit, you know something's not right. And, you know, I woke up to that email, and obviously it trending on Twitter. You know, they got a problem here 2 weeks. So now, you know, now you've got some...
Yeah, man.
They've got a good team, but now you've got some adversity in front of you, and it's probably good for them, though. I saw your comments saying this is
maybe a blessing in disguise.
Maybe a blessing, yeah.
It could be a bit of a wake-up call. And tomorrow night, listen, Boston, from a standings perspective, is off to a good start, but they're not happy down there either. Like, Cassidy has come out, and he's ready to strangle everyone on that team not named Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak.
Yeah.
Like, you look at their numbers, the secondary scoring is non-existent.
Yeah. Flat out said last night, if we have any kind of secondary scoring, we win that hockey game. He goes, well, we didn't have it.
But that's how good that top line is.
Yeah.
They've still lost, like, one game in regulation.
Yeah.
With one line producing. That's how good they are.
Okay. There's a message for these guys.
For Babcock?
Oh, yeah. No, Austin Matthews. Go ahead and be dominant for 2 weeks until he comes back. And then when he comes back, keep doing it. That's how good you can be.
Did you see the lines today? It's Kerfoot moving up.
Of course it is.
And
you guys thought Spezza would you thought maybe Spezza would get a look? Ove wants to see Spezza on
the second line. He's on the third line. He's
I don't want anything. I don't care. That's just my opinion on what I would do.
Right.
Like, well, this guy's the smartest guy in the universe, so he's going to put Kerfoot up there. But when Mitch Marner doesn't touch the puck for two periods, they'll come crying to me. This guy's the smartest guy in the universe. He's going to do what he's going to do. And that's it. I really don't care. I'm quite sick of talking about his maneuvers and what he's going to do, because he's going to do what he's going to do. And I hope he gets fired, because I'm just sick of his. I'm sick of the whole thing.
Now you're hoping this went from I don't care.
The guy's the most ignorant person. Like, he's just he thinks he's so smart, and he's always got the. Like, I'm sick of it. Anyway, I got into a mode there where I didn't need to go. I'm sick of that guy. I'm sick of him.
Mike Babcock.
Oh, yeah.
Just to clarify what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
How about our media? Every game. Oh, you know, why wasn't this guy on the ice? They never ask him after the game. He just stands there. Oh, you know, dig in. And nobody says anything. Why was Freddie the Goat in the ice and a minute left in the period? No one says anything to that guy. Like, do you want me to go down? I'll ask the guy. I don't care.
What are you yelling at me?
I don't know. Yeah, like, what? I
don't know.
I think what's happened is it went from, hey,
look. Well, he's going to say, oh, Kerfoot's a guy, you know, he's a guy. Spezza's no good. He's going to play fourth line. I'm sick of listening to the guy.
Well, he's set his ways.
Yeah, no kidding.
You knew what was coming.
Thing is,
you knew what his approach is going to be about
he's
balance.
He's the smartest guy ever.
Well, that's not, you know, I don't know if he's the smartest guy ever. I'm not sure he would say he's the smartest guy ever, but he believes in doing the same thing every day and being consistent and applying his own plan, and over the course of the season, it's all going to balance out.
Right.
That's his belief. So yeah. I'm not surprised that Kerfoot is where he is and Spezza is where he is and Marner's not with Matthews. I'm not holding my breath that that's going to happen. They've been in the league for over 3 years. They have never consistently played with one another.
Right.
So I think three or four other guys could get injured and we still wouldn't see it. I just don't see it happening. He's committed to the two of them being split up.
He's committed to himself saying, I'm going to do this because I'm the smartest guy in the room. Well, that's his thing.
That's fine, but he's the coach, and he has the ability to do that.
He has the right to do
that. Whether you agree with it or not, he gets to call the shot.
But until they go south, until something happens, I mean, it's been from expectation to actual, it's just been an average start, right?
Oh,
average?
At best, yeah.
At best. Maybe lukewarm. Now, you know, there's different factors that have gone in, you know, scheduling, you know, the backup hasn't, stolen a game or been brilliant. Like, there's a lot of different things. Your Marner and Tavares, slow starts, all of that type of stuff factor in. But I think you've got to take a look at the big picture. 10, 15, 20 games into this, if they're still kind of stuttering along a little bit, that's when the light gets a little brighter on Babs.
Yeah, absolutely.
But right now, I think he does have to be creative. That's the one thing. You look at coaches around the league, and the one thing that...
Jamie, the last thing the guy is creative.
Well,
I'm sorry, he's not creative.
But you're right.
It took him six games to say, oh, maybe I'll put Trevor Moore on the second line. Creative? That word is not in the vocabulary when you're describing him. Sorry.
No, he's not an overly creative
coach. No, he's
coach.
Not.
He's not. And I also think, I said this before we came on the air, I think the first thing a new coach would do, and I'm not saying it should happen, I'm not saying it will happen.
Yeah.
First thing I think any new coach, Keith Boudreaux, who could be available pretty soon, we'll get to that momentarily. anybody, Scotty Bowman decides I'm showing up. I think the first thing they would be put Matthews with Marner. And just be like, I'm coming in. I'm going to mix it up. We got to do something differently. I'm going to put my two best players together. Let's go.
Right.
By the way, that's not even creative. That's just
for this team, it is, because they've never done that. Like, in 3 years, Babcock has never said, we're playing 15 games with these two together.
That does not make it creative. That's just a standard thing that you would try once in a while. But he's so smart, he doesn't do it. And he'll come up with some dumb excuse why it's like, whatever.
He doesn't believe in it.
Okay.
Like, that's
this guy's won one playoff round in 10 years.
Well,
great. And everyone's like this, oh, yeah, great job. Yeah, that's the right answer. I'm so glad. Like, they don't ask.
Well, he's not going to give you an answer anyway.
Nobody, you're not like going to get it. You're not going to get it.
Nobody asks him nothing. It's the Coors Light slow pitch tournament. Oh, what'd you think of the power play? It was 0-for-8, but good puck move. Oh, really?
All right, we'll send Al's brother down there with a media pass. And yeah. He'll get right into the muck.
I'll go on assignment.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Go in there and start taking over the scrum and start yelling and screaming?
You'll get one question, and that's it. That's it. You'll get one question. Like, everyone gets one question.
He came in here, and he's like, all these people are used to losing. I'm Mike Babcock. I'm a winner. I'm going to say whatever I want because they don't know any different because they put up with garbage for 10 years. And whatever I say, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, this guy knows. Yeah.
Well, listen, I think the pressure's on, but it's because you went from, you know, this is a team that's rebuilt. They've made the playoffs 3 years in a row, haven't got out of the first round, but you've got 106 points, 100 points. Like, they should be afforded a little bit of luxury of some leeway here. But you're right. If it continues to trend in a direction where, you know, even the manager is probably going to pay attention. At some point, there is, you know, going to be change, whether it's a failed playoff this time around or he just doesn't like what he's seeing. You know, coaches they get hired to get fired. And this isn't Babs' first year. This is his fifth year, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
This is his fifth year with the organization.
Yeah, he's been here a
long time. So he's been here a long time. But I still want to give the benefit of the doubt in the regular season to have these guys sorted out because there is new players still on that roster. Would I like to see Matthews and Marner? I think I was one of the ones the other day saying, put those guys together. Mm-hmm. I would love to see a three-pack, just like Tampa put Point, Stamkos, and Kucherov.
Jamie, I don't care who plays with who, but if something's not going in the first period, maybe experiment with something different.
Yeah.
Instead of playing everybody the same lines every game, and then after the game, you're like, oh, we didn't have – well, oh, great, you didn't have it. Did you do anything to change that?
I'd love to see it. Like, this is a good test. You know, Boston's a fantastic team. I think they're one of the best teams in the league, and just watching them several times so far. Yeah, they don't have secondary scoring, but they do have – they know how to play. They play a tight system. They got good goaltending. They're deer, mobile, move the puck. Like, they're a good measuring stick, especially with the history. You got an opportunity here to – it's not even making a statement. There's no statement games in October, but it is about at least getting your season going.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a statement win. There's a statement loss in October. There's a statement loss because especially when you consider the Leafs have lost to Tampa, St. Louis, and Washington. Those are the three best teams they've played.
Right.
And they're 0-3 in those games. The fourth best team they played, they were up 4-1 in the third, and they lost in a shootout.
Yeah.
That's Montreal. And now you're playing a big boy again tomorrow night. Yeah. And if you get blown out at home, it's going to be ugly in Toronto on Monday. I can guarantee you that.
For sure. And the next, they play Monday. Is it Saturday, Monday, or Saturday, Tuesday?
They play Monday at home against Columbus and then at Boston on Tuesday night.
Correct.
Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5. We got Michael Bradley on the show today at 6:05. TFC in action tomorrow down at BMO Field. Mail it in Friday. Brought to you by sportsmarketplace.ca. The place to buy and sell all things sports. It's where sports fans go to put their stuff on waivers. Get a poll question up. That includes Noodles, Scott Sabourin, and Lady Gaga. If you missed this Lady Gaga video that is starting to go viral, it's unbelievable.
It could be. It almost broke the internet.
It should break the internet. It is spectacular. I don't know who's a bigger hero. They both are okay in the end, but you got to see it. We'll play it on TSN4. We'll break it down for the radio audience. We got a big weekend in the NFL coming up.
Yeah,
Michael Lombardi's going to join us in the 6 p.m. hour.
Got a big text from Wendell Clark we'll discuss.
Okay, we'll get into that because I think that's fake news personally.
What do you mean? Like, what?
I think it's fake news. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, the poll question is brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. Up on Twitter, at Overdrive 1050, asking people who had a worse time in Vegas. I think Noodles had a great time. I don't think he should be included in this. And Scott Sabourin's included, but, yeah, he fought Reeves. He maybe lost the fight, but he didn't lose any teeth or a broken nose or anything. He survived and kept playing.
Not applicable.
The only answer is Lady Gaga. And Lady Gaga is currently in the lead with 51% of the vote. If you've missed the video, we'll play it up on TSN 4. I guess she must have, like, a residence somewhere in Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't know where she's playing, but she's playing somewhere. She's probably making what, $15 million a year, $20 million a year?
Oh, for sure. Like, all of that. Probably even less. Like, it may be a six-week residency and getting that type of bank.
So, look at this video. She calls some hooligan up on the stage who was just in the crowd, and they start dancing. I don't know what the hell she was thinking.
She got around him, and it was kind of like that, the stripper bounce or something. He's jumping up and down with her, but the stage is circular.
And he
got aggressive, and he got all horned up.
But he steps off the stage. I think he breaks his right leg. It buckles underneath him.
Man, that's a pile drive. Like, that's mankind at WrestleMania.
It is.
Only it's Lady Gaga in Vegas.
You know what? I'll give Gaga credit. She tried to make it right. She's like, everybody's okay. She brought the pigeon back up there. And played the piano.
That guy's got to move to, like, South America or something.
Can you imagine if he snapped her leg and they had to,
witness protection.
Like,
witness protection. Because you know he's going to go back to wherever he's from, and someone's going to say, did you hear about the Lady Gaga story in Vegas?
What if he says in the office, like at lunch hour, in the calf, I'm the Gaga guy.
Here's even worse.
I'm the guy.
He told his wife that he just was playing cards. Like, yeah, I'm going to go play cards. Yeah. He's at the Gaga concert on stage and almost snaps her leg in half.
Right. A rock bottom off the stage. That is one of the great videos of all time.
It is.
What was she thinking? She's got so many people in her inner circle. You know that's never happening again either.
Oh, no, no.
No more hooligans up on the stage.
She has been given direct orders. Never anyone else on the stage.
No.
Ever.
I think it's hilarious that, you know, she allowed it, but you're right. She was a great sport about it. Well, made a joke about it, but it's not his right leg. It's his left leg when he pivots that buckles underneath him.
I can't believe she got up. Like, she took the brunt of it, man. He dropped on her.
Yeah.
Like, it's a full-blown, like, Hell in the Cell, just monster pile drive.
Yeah.
And Lady Gaga's tough as nails because she got up and continued the concert. Can you know how rattled you would be if that ended the concert? You'd want to kill the guy.
Yeah, like that's two songs in or something.
Worst mic drop ever.
Ever. I flew all the way to Vegas. I love Gaga. I've been waiting for this for months. Yeah. I got tickets, and you pile drive her, and she's on the IR.
And this idiot just buries her off stage.
Yeah.
Like, that is something else. But it happens. Like, you see sometimes, I think it was Justin Bieber that fell through the stage.
Yeah, that was, that might have been in Toronto.
I thought it was in Saskatoon.
It was in Canada somewhere.
Where he'd, like, flat out, you know, his stage opens up, and he just walked right down. But he got up and made fun of it, as usual. Like, but that could seriously injure somebody.
Big time.
Like, she's, by all accounts, she's not a big lady. I met her once. Like, she's tiny.
And dude, it doesn't matter if you're Andre the Giant. If you get pile-drived off stage, you're in trouble.
Oh, for sure. Like, that wasn't good. But the video, I'm glad that everyone's okay, but that video is...
I said it. It's the Mona Lisa of the iPhone era. Why the iPhone was created, to catch that type of content. The poll question brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. Custom team uniforms and logos at prices to suit any budget. Play like a pro. Look like a pro. JerseyFactory.com. You guys see this story from Business Insider?
About Ronaldo?
Yeah, Ronaldo makes $34 million a year playing for Juventus. How much money do you think he makes on Instagram?
50. He makes $30 million a year?
$34 million playing soccer for Juventus. How much money do you think he makes from Instagram?
$25 million a year.
Try 50.
$47.8 million.
From Instagram?
From posting ads and advertisements and sponsors on Instagram. He has...
That's crazy.
I think he might have more followers than anyone else on Instagram. He's right there with Kardashian and the Jenners and all them. 47.8 million cash a year.
From Instagram?
From Instagram. 47.8 million because he will post a picture...
Of his abs.
Of his abs in a Canada Goose jacket. Yeah. And they're like, here's 15 mil.
It's crazy.
47.8 million on Instagram.
It's brilliant by people because everyone's like this their whole life, looking at their phone.
Well, that's why.
So screw commercials. Do it on Instagram.
That's how you make your money, man. That's how you make your money. Like, that's, he's getting paid because the companies believe it's worth it.
But that's the new term is influencer. He's an influencer.
He's an influencer.
So he has the most followers on Instagram. So his business people say, okay, he'll plug this product. Give us some $2 million.
Like,
give us $10 million.
Jennifer Aniston, I'll bet you someone told her to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, she just got on Instagram.
She's on Instagram. She's already got millions and millions of followers. I think she's the quickest to 1 million follows. I was watching CP24 the other day, and someone from eTalk was on and said, you can't even follow her because so many people are trying to follow her every second. Like, you go and you try to follow her, and it just says unavailable right now or whatever.
Yeah.
That's how many people are jumping on board with her. And I guarantee you, a publicist or someone said, you're missing out on like $40 million a year.
Exactly.
Get on Instagram. Get up to 100 million people following you, and you're going to walk ass backwards into 30, 40 million cash.
That's Al's brother. If he creates an Instagram.
Al's brother. And he's going to put all that money on ProLine picks.
Yeah.
Because all he does is pick winners.
All he does is win.
Yeah, all he does is win.
A winner.
What are the chances the Yankees survive tonight? Verlander on the mound.
Pretty thin.
3-1 Yankee Stadium. How about your boy Giancarlo Stanton returning tonight? He's playing tonight.
Maybe he'll spark the troops.
Well, they needed him last night.
I know.
Like, this team, that was such an ugly performance. Let me get the stats here.
I checked in. I thought it was 7.
They lost 8-3.
I thought it was 7-3 when I was checking in on it.
It was, and Altuve scored that run in the eighth. The Yankees had 4 errors, 13 strikeouts, 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. That's Gary Thorne territory.
Yeah, that was a garbage outing. Their manager said it after.
Awful. Like, sloppy and awful and bad. Like, Gary Thorne would be snapping.
Boone said it. He goes, that's just not good enough.
No.
So no, who, I've had enough.
So, who's on Expedia in that dressing room?
Oh, I'll bet you there's a lot of them.
Whatever you call
Edwin's not playing tonight. Edwin's online.
He can't hit. He's Serrano right now.
He can't hit. He came up with the bases loaded. Judge had opportunities last night, too, and he looked bad.
He's got some Serrano in him, too. It's like they're just a breaking ball or a splitter or something, and mm-hmm. it just up and in, he'll or up and out, he'll just crush it to the opposite deck. Anything curving, he mm-hmm. ain't hitting it.
Yep. Well, and you know what? We look at the Yankees, and we should. I think games 2 through 4, there's something like 1-for-23 with runners in scoring position. They cannot get a big hit at a big moment where – the Astros have been doing that consistently, but
they don't have the mojo right now.
You got to give credit to Houston, though, too. Like, Greinke got out of that jam in the first, and then he's pitched really well. When they go to the bullpen, Roberto Osuna, I know how people feel about him.
Right.
I get it. We know about his history. That dude can pitch.
Right.
Nothing about his personal life or whatever, but when you watch him pitch, he went an inning and a third last night, flat money.
Right.
When the ball gets in his hands, and we saw it with the Jays, we saw it in 15, 16. We saw what he was all about. Mm. When they get to him, and tonight I would expect Verlander's probably going 7 or 8 tonight. They're going to hand it over to Osuna, and he's probably going to close the series out. That's what I expect to see tonight.
Regardless of, like you say, you can't stress it enough. The person compared to the athlete. The athlete is fantastic.
Right. It's just like Chapman on the other side. Chapman's,
by the way,
we know about
also
his history.
A mental battle, too. Like, you go up to bat and you think, man, we could get by. Or get by Verlander tonight. Guess what's up tomorrow?
Yeah, that's why Expedia is coming out. That's why in the back of your mind, you're like, is there
that's
a point?
That's what I'm saying. There's a mental battle there where it's like, man, we could get by tonight. It's like,
what's the point? But we got to fly to Houston and go face Garrett Cole?
That's where they might have the Gary Thorne halfway through the game where it's, I've had enough.
I've had enough.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, Houston's just playing better than them. And Houston's better. Houston's a better team, top to bottom, in my opinion. But I wouldn't be shocked if it got ugly tonight. Ugly.
But the fans will let them know, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. You know,
I wouldn't be surprised if Stanton got booed tonight.
I wouldn't either.
They will not be happy.
What the hell happened overnight where he's like, I know there's injuries where it's like, okay, you need one more day, but when it's on the line like that, you can't go, and then all of a sudden, yeah, I'm good to go.
Yeah, and not even available for a pinch hit. Like, at some point, it's just, I'm out. I'm not dressing. I'm not playing. That's, don't come to me.
That's a little verbata.
Yeah,
you know,
that's not a good look.
A lot of verbata.
So Stanton's in tonight. He's going to back cleanup, and Edwin's out. Edwin's been struggling, man. I'm not surprised by that, but we'll see. Game 5 tonight, Verlander at Yankee Stadium. That is nightmare fuel. Nightmare fuel. That cat on the mound, this is what he lives for. Cade Upton will be in New York. You know it. And that dude, I think, might be...
He's money.
...feeling it tonight. Ray Ferraro, our hockey analyst, just after 5. We've got a pair of Raptors tickets to opening night to give away. We're going to get to that around somewhere between 5 and 6 p.m. And Zion Williamson news. The news is out. We'll get into it momentarily.
Yeah, we'll also get into an uncomfortable FaceTime convo I had with the grappler this morning.
Why is he FaceTiming you?
I'll tell you.
All right. Okay. Yeah, we got to dig through those details. FaceTiming in the morning with the grappler. Okay. That's where we're going with this. We'll touch on it next. All right, we've got a pair of tickets to give away. Leaf Sharks, Friday, October 25th. And every day this week, we have been providing you with the clue to a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. Today is the final player, and then the phone lines will be open. Here's your clue. Prior to his retirement at the end of the 02-03 season, he was a part of the Grumpy Old Men line in Dallas with Mike Keen and John McClain. All right, phone lines are open. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. First one in to name that Leaf. You're going to see Leaf San Jose next Friday night.
He was a part of the Grumpy Old Men line?
I've never heard of that line.
Me neither.
Mike Keen, John McClain, and whoever this guy is. I don't even know who it is.
Benoit Hogue.
Nope. Mike Keen.
Is it Dave Reed? It's got to be Dave Reed.
No.
Benoit Hogue?
Whatever. We'll figure it out. Call in now. There's a lot of people calling in, so we wish we could give tickets to everybody, but clearly we can't. We're going to give away a pair of Raptors tickets, though, in the next hour to opening night. Big-time bummer. Zion Williamson will not be playing. Right. And honestly, I'm going down to the game. I'm looking forward to the energy in the building. I want to see the banner going up. But once the game begins, he's the guy I really want to see.
Of course.
I've seen Kyle. I've seen Siakam.
Like Kobe was in high school. And you're like, okay, LeBron was in high school. You're like,
I want to check it off the list. I want to say I've seen him live. Like, there's certain players that you have to do it.
Yeah,
you've got to do it. When they roll through town.
And get it done early because as it goes down the line, it's that much
tougher.
Tickets
are more expensive, all of that type of stuff. But, I mean.
It's such a bummer, man. It doesn't sound like it's a long-term injury and it's something significant. It's just general soreness in his knee, but had to be opening night. Couldn't push it back end of November, so I get to see him play live in Toronto.
Well, I saw that Kawhi played last night. Are we going to just track everything that Kawhi does now?
No, I don't think we will.
You think that's going to go away?
I think the only time we...
You're wrong. SportsCenter.
Yeah.
Kara. They're doing it every night.
A Kawhi tracker?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that or heard anything about that. I think the only time it really comes up if he fails.
Right.
Like if Kawhi...
I guarantee you the Clippers highlights are going up every night. I guarantee you. They did his exhibition game last night in Vancouver.
Yeah, but it was in Vancouver.
So
it was
what?
On Canadian soil. That's
I
a big story.
I guarantee you they do it.
I think there'll be a Kawhi tracker for a while, good or bad, because it's almost like when you break up with somebody earlier, like early on that breakup, you're checking their Facebook. You're checking, this is that breakup.
I actually thought of the perfect analogy this week that I wish I had back in July. It was a divorce with a great prenup. And the prenup, the agreement was, I'm going to hand you a title and a ride that you've never been on before. But it wasn't amicable.
Yeah.
It wasn't a breakup where both parties had just grown apart. And, hey, the heart wants what it wants.
Right.
It was ruthless. It was cutthroat.
It was cold.
Heartbreaking. It was cold. This guy left us at the altar. But it was one hell of a prenup.
Right.
There was something written in where it's like, yeah, that's pretty good, man. We got the house, the car.
Yeah, you got everything.
We got everything, but we still didn't want to see him
leave. You don't have the person.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
Well,
I'm 2 months late on that, 3 months late on that, but I like that analogy.
But it's the way it went down, too, where he flew up here.
Oh, yeah. Teasing us.
Like, that's that.
He moved out for a week and then moved back in.
That whole.
Yeah,
I don't know, what do you call it, a week, 48 hours? That's a book.
Yeah, that
whoever can get in deep and describe what went down in those hours.
Yeah,
that's where you wish that, you know, Danny Green had the cameras following him.
Well, apparently this Uncle Dennis character was pulling strings and pulling moves that were just outrageous.
Yeah, I get
and there was
the
no
sense.
Intention. I don't know. We'll have to get Josh or somebody in here who knows the deets.
I get the sense that this Uncle Dennis was wearing many hats.
Yeah, and I think he got paid off.
Yeah.
I think there's a pretty good chance that Steve Ballmer, some of that Microsoft money might have been showing
up. All of a sudden, Uncle Dennis.
Was that Christie Pitts?
He was.
Whatever the equivalent is in L.A.
Exactly.
Yeah. Open your trunk.
Yeah.
Maybe something will be in there you like.
And we'll a duffel bag full of cash.
Yeah, we'll meet you in Malibu. Malibu Park.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, here's the keys to a house in Malibu.
Yeah.
And one of the bedrooms is stacked with cash.
Mm-hmm.
That's how. Because that Ballmer could do that.
Oh, dude, he's one of the richest
people
in the world.
Isn't he? Or 40?
Yeah, over 50 billion.
Pretty damn cool!
That's the worst part, too, man. That's the divorce, and that's where he went.
And that's
the
new boyfriend.
Yeah,
that's
to that
new
guy.
That's the new boyfriend.
That guy's showing up at your house and the parties and stuff.
Pretty cool! Pretty damn cool!
Like, Steve Ballmer wants to be friends with us. We're not friends, dude.
You know Kawhi and Paul George were sitting there saying, what a loser.
No, they,
like,
you know what?
What a loser.
They were saying, like, I can tolerate this because I want to either play there because it's in my backyard.
And they got
or I'm going to make bank, yeah.
Yeah.
Or both.
And he did exactly what I told them to do.
Exactly.
Which would be pretty cool when you think about it. This guy's got $50 billion plus. And you went up to him and said, go get Paul George, trade away everything you have, and then maybe I'll sign. And then not only does he do it, he doesn't sign the max deal.
Yeah.
He goes, I'll take 2 years and an option. I might leave your ass in 2 years. I'm kind of getting used to this divorce thing. Kawhi's going to be Larry King by the end of it.
Yeah, he might be.
He might have 7-8 divorces, man.
He might.
Who knows?
That's funny.
All right, we got to get to your alleged text with Wendell Clark.
It was a text.
FaceTime with the grappler.
Yeah, quickly. Why are you FaceTiming with the grappler?
Because the grappler is going to my cottage tonight to spend the weekend.
Yes.
So I wanted to FaceTime him to show him the remotes. And he's geared down. He's got no gear on. I'm like, bud, he's got the Spy Who Shagged Me chest.
Yeah, that's awkward.
I'm like, bud, you got
to... I mean, you call me out of the blue. No heads up. I'm about to hop in the shower.
You
and
gotta
then
flush
I see
it,
Jeff O'Neill FaceTime.
You don't flush it then.
You flush it and you FaceTime back.
By the way, I left the fireplace on for you, so you're all good.
We covered that during the FaceTime call. I appreciate
it. Is there a shag rug in front of the fireplace?
Just make sure that thing gets cleaned out on Sunday night. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.